Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, January 26, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
I never cared for you, not once. I was always making a fool of you. You bored me stiff. I hated you. It made me sick when I had to let you kiss me.
Wow, don't you just hate to find that out after the fact? Well, your spurned lover is also your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
And after you kissed me, I owe you to wipe my mouth. Wipe my mouth!
I had no idea. Well, I'm over you too. And just to prove it, today I bring you part two of my conversation with Mina Bast. She joins us again this week to finish our conversation we began last week. As you know, this is part of my series of interviews called The Erotic Mind. If somehow you missed part one of this charming and informative discussion, look for last week's podcast number 95 in the podcast category in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. And don't forget to visit Mina's site at thesmittenone.com. Today, we welcome a brand spanking new podcast sponsor, The Right Position Erotic Boutique, and their signature product, The Right Position Pillow. Listen, sex fans, I am so delighted to introduce you to a really terrific product, The Right Position Pillow. It's a wedge-shaped pillow molded in soft yet oh-so-supportive foam designed to enhance sexual pleasure and comfort for both partners during sex. You see, the whole wedge design raises the lower body to just the right position for easy access to all one's naughty bits. Think of it, no more stress and strain when you're giving or getting all that hot monkey love. Listen up, this is the ideal sexual aid for everyone, gay, straight, bi, male, female, what have you. Once you've tried one of these babies, you'll wonder how you lived without. Still not sure? Okay then. Check out the review of the Right Position Pillow on my product reviews page. You'll find that page's tab at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Just scroll down until you find review 25. Be sure to visit the Right Position Erotic Boutique today and get a load of all their passion packages. Look for their attractive banner in the sidebar of my site.
Now come on down to the car and let's all be friends.
Okay, on with the show.
Welcome back, sex fans, and we have as our guest again today a continuation of our discussion with Mina Bast, erotic artist, erotic photographer, erotic model. Welcome back, Mina.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking more time for us.
Anytime.
Excellent. So let's pick up where we left off last week. Some erotic artists create their art with words, but you've chosen a different path. So let's talk about your chosen media for a moment, would you? You are multi-talented. You work in pastels and photography and words. Fill me in. Tell me a little bit about what works in each of those media.
Honestly, I use a really intuitive process in all of them. As far as photography is concerned, my process is basically I move the camera around until I go, ooh, and then I push the button.
Well, you can't get any more fundamental than that.
No, I actually told, I had an interview at the Art Institute, and that's what I told the girl that was interviewing me, like, that's my training. Mm-hmm. But it's the same with everything. I let it flow through me, mm-hmm. and as long as I'm not holding back or trying to intentionally plan it out too much, it usually mm-hmm. works out mm-hmm. really well.
So would you say that the same is true for when you're painting and when you're creating with words?
Yes, absolutely. Especially with writing, I'll get one line stuck in my head, and as long as I don't try to think past the next line and just write it down, then it pretty much writes itself. The mm-hmm. same with the pastels. I never have any idea what the final product is going to look like. I just get started, and by the time it's done, I'm usually just as surprised myself as anyone else that would be seeing it.
Do you know when it's done?
Yes. It's just a feeling.
No kidding. Gosh.
What? It's that same ooh. Yeah. Like, ooh, that's it. It's done.
Yeah. I suspect that might be something that is very universal amongst artists, that they know when it's finished.
Yeah.
And when it's a ta-da moment. Ta-da! It's done. Cool. Since you're working in these different media, would you hold to the adage that a picture or an image is worth 1,000 words?
I think in a lot of ways that can be true, but I also think that you could just as easily take 5 words and have it inspire 10,000 images in your mind, because you're not limiting it by putting it in one image. So
yeah,
I think it could go either way.
Yeah. Some of the people that I've interviewed, and a lot of people that I've talked to over the years that I have yet to interview, have talked about, in terms of erotica and erotic art, that some of their motivation is to shock, to not purient shock, like, you know, rub their face in it kind of shock, but to create either words, sentences, or images where people have to stop and rethink what they have been thinking about in the past.
Yeah.
Is that some of your motivation as well?
For me, it's mostly just, I don't know, like you said, there's a lot of reverence in my work, and there's a lot of love and respect, so I feel like I just have so much love for my subjects that's what I'm looking for, that's what I'm looking to reflect, especially, I mean, erotic comes from eros, which just means love between humans, and to me, that extends to self-love. So a lot of times if I'm shooting a single person, I want them to see themselves in a whole new way that increases their sense of self-love and appreciation for themselves. I've had people that never used to walk around naked until I took their picture. And now she's like, I just want to be naked all the time. Like, I didn't know, you
You've
know?
You've created a monster.
I know, it's true.
Or a saint.
I'm sure her boyfriend's very happy with me.
It's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. I mean, if more of us submitted to being shot, photographed naked, maybe we would have more reverence about our own body.
I think that would be wonderful.
I do too. I'm thinking about that. I've been thinking about that a lot recently, about just letting go. And people say that the camera doesn't lie. I suspect, you know, this is not like the, you know, station.
Exactly.
But it is, you know, in the hands of a master or mistress, as the case might be, just about everyone looks beautiful.
I'd like to think so. Everyone is beautiful to me, and I just want to show them.
Yeah.
I just want to show them that.
Yeah. Today, erotic artists abound, although in some circles this genre is still not as accepted as mainstream. Has that been your experience?
I haven't had any problems, any negative feedback, anything, no. If I haven't heard about it. I did post one picture online, and it was actually for this last Babeland show. It was suggestive, but there's nothing blatant in it at all. Mm-hmm. But one of my online friends commented, he was like, oh, please. And people give me a hard time about my pictures, you know. There was nothing there. I mean, there was a hint of a hand, and you could kind of tell, you know, it was between someone's legs, but it was the only thing that was in focus was the hand, and I thought it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, I haven't had anyone give me a hard time.
So you've never been criticized for the work that you do, and your work that you know of hasn't been denigrated by others, possibly other artists, because of its content?
Definitely not to me directly. I've had people show up at my shows, other photographers and artists, that told me they're going to totally rethink their style and everything.
Wow.
But just by seeing my stuff, because I don't use, you know, fancy lighting, and you know, people have told me they take an hour to set up all this lighting just to get one shot, and that just blows me away. I can take 200 pictures in an hour without doing any of that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I know. But the thing is, again, we talked about this last week, but your center, your sensitivity in terms of that intimate connection between sexuality and spirituality might give you the edge, where somebody who is practiced in setting up lights, you know, to create, you know, perhaps a work of art, but is minus that spiritual aspect, that photograph or that image that he or she is creating might be empty.
I agree. I think there's definitely going to be something else coming through, mm-hmm. depending on the intention and.
Is it possible for you as an artist to eroticize something you personally don't find sexy?
Oh, I do that sometimes, often accidentally.
Uh-huh.
I'll take pictures of food.
Uh-huh.
I took pictures of this amazing berry trifle the other day, and I looked at it later, and I'm going, wow, like even that food I shoot is sexy. Like, food porn.
It's true.
It's
true.
Not necessarily intentional, but like I said, even like with the pastels, you know, it just comes through.
Yeah. Let me press you on that. Would you say then that all of creation is infused with this power of sexuality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's symbolism everywhere and everything. And there's a component of that in everything, I think, sure.
How would your regular Joe or Jean Blow touch into that? I mean, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because this, your erotic mind, is so different than the erotic minds that I have chatted with so far. Every one of them are brilliant, wonderful people who I admired, but you have a particular take on things that I want to plumb the depths with here, if you don't mind. Can you how would somebody uncover that? Do scales need to fall from our eyes? Do we have to open ourselves up? No, I mean, serious. I mean,
perhaps,
like, really.
For me, I've just definitely mindfully practice a different way of noticing things.
I see.
Through a lot of my spiritual training and other things.
I see.
A big influence on me was a book called The Soul of Sex by Thomas More. He was a monk for several years and is now married, and wrote this amazing book on sexuality and eroticism and everything. And there's a whole chapter on just architecture and stuff. And I remember One of the things that really stuck out to me, he said, if you can walk through an archway or a doorway without feeling something at least slightly sexual, then perhaps you should change the doorway. Like,
How interesting.
And it's just a different way of noticing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like we've said several times, I have a deep reverence for everything, for all of creation and for people.
Do you find that in some ways alienating from the other folks who join you on this planet?
Perhaps, but I love them too.
But I mean, with that kind of sensitivity, and I feel, at least in this respect, I feel that you and I are somewhat kindred spirits. And I find it often lonely. I find it, you know, that I look around me for other people who have similar takes on things, even in organized religion, or maybe especially in organized religion, they seem to have absolutely none. You know, I mean, they're just, they do a lot of lip service to, you know, the reverential nature of creation and maybe even sexuality, but they certainly don't live it.
Yeah, there's a, it became really important to me a while back to be congruent with my own philosophies and mm-hmm. beliefs, and
yeah.
so,
yeah.
Because if you're not, then you're, you know, it's just kind of hypocritical, and yeah. I knew I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, and you would create false art then, too.
Exactly.
Which we have plenty of, seems to me. Do you believe that erotica is directly related to our sexuality, or can it be created apart from our sexuality?
Well, I think everything's connected. I think things can be erotic without necessarily being super sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that, you know, eros has to do with the love between
mm-hmm.
humans.
Mm-hmm. Is it important, at least from your point of view, to have a intimate understanding of both the, you know, the male and female inside of you, so that you have a sensitivity? I mean, I know a lot of people who can do great art of women, other people who can do great art of men, but not necessarily, there's not a whole lot of crossover.
I love shooting both men and women. I have definitely come to a pretty good balance between the male and female aspects of myself, for sure, especially being bisexual. You know, I've had to kind
That's helpful.
It's definitely helpful.
That's helpful, for sure. There are obvious erotic triggers in the popular culture, such as fetish wear, corsets, jock straps, leather, breast, nipples, penises, vaginas, certain languid poses. But do you think that one can sexualize the blatantly erotic? We talked about this a little bit before, like nature and food and everyday clothing.
I think it's possible to eroticize or sexualize anything if you have that in mind.
I think so too. I really do. And sometimes we, and I think that's one of the shortcomings, it seems to me, about pornography in the popular culture, because it only eroticizes, you know, parts.
Certain parts, yeah.
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 And to the detriment of the whole, it seems to me. Like, can if you don't have these shaped breasts, then you are not pretty. Or if you don't have lips like this, or
right.
your cunt doesn't look like this, then, you know, it's. It's discounted, or your dick isn't big enough, or you don't have enough muscles, or you're not
yeah.
hairy enough, or something. It's really unfortunate, because that wounds so many people. Get back to what we were talking about last week, about how you can shoot couples and make them, you know, realize how beautifully, you know, sexual and erotic they are.
Yes.
Do you look to work with a particular body type?
No, definitely not. I want to work with anyone that wants to see themselves in a different way. Like, I'd love to work with people that are, like, more non-traditional as far as beauty, or, you know, work with more Rubenesque ladies, because I love, like, the light and the curves
yes,
and everything,
yes,
and
yeah.
I'd love to reflect
yeah.
that back at
yeah.
them.
Yeah. You know, I just recently I heard from somebody who has multiple sclerosis and is in a wheelchair, and was listening to my Erotic Mind podcast, and they wrote, wouldn't it be great if somebody took the time to help us appreciate the eroticism that we have in our twisted bodies?
Absolutely. And in fact, one of my last shows, the show just before this Babeland show, was called Skin Deep, and the subject was a friend of mine, Nati Amos, who is a spoken word artist, but she has had, I want to say, like 28 surgeries, so she's covered in scars, she's missing fingers, and all sorts of just amazing scars
mm-hmm.
all over her body, and we did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's so true. Like, I know that this flies in the face of the popular culture's notion of eroticism or sexuality, but in the work that I do with sick and dying people, I think, you know, that poignancy that I'm sure that you recognize too at the end of life, that I find so compelling, so charged with life, and thus charged with sexuality. Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of the men that I've worked with over the years, I mean, one of the things that they want to know is that they're still, they still have it.
Yes,
they still have it. They could be on their, they're taking their last breath, and you know, they're still fantasizing about, you know, the dildo that looks like a floor lamp, or you know, that they could turn somebody else on, their lover or
still
somebody
got
else.
Some mojo left.
That's right. Isn't
Absolutely.
That amazing? Isn't that amazing? The last thing to go.
It's a big part of us, especially if it's something that's been kind of squashed, you know, throughout our life.
Yes. And finally, you know, for a lot of people, you know, the act of dying is, you know, that letting go of all of those reservations and, you know, societal expectations and, you know, just spreading one's arms. And, you know, and with that goes the conventions, happily, of our society about how we should behave and what is good and right and proper.
Definitely, it becomes not quite so important anymore what other people are thinking.
Yeah. Interesting, also, in the way that so many people in our culture reserve sexual expression for, you know, the pretty people, the whole people, the healthy people, and, you know, sick and disfigured and marginalized and those folks oughtn't be sexual.
I think that especially those people should be sexual because that's like that moment of bliss and pleasure
that's absolutely
everyone deserves and should
that's
have.
Are there topics that you gravitate to and topics that you avoid?
It's really intuitive, like I said, for me, as far as subject. You know, I show up and basically let people do whatever they want to do, and I'm just there to witness. I would probably shy away from anything that was irreverent or disrespectful. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not into super hardcore fetish type stuff. I've done quite a bit of fetish stuff myself as a model.
Right.
But you know, I'm not really into like scat or anything like that. But
that's good to know.
Yes, good to know. But other than that, you know, I'm really open. Whatever you want to bring across, whatever you want to do, I'll shoot it.
Mm-hmm. What do you look for in the works of other erotic artists?
Probably that same component that I look for in my own, just that whatever that quality is that kind of just makes you go, ooh. I mean, it's like an emotional response.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you find that often, or is that somewhat hard to come by?
I see it pretty often. I think, you know, a lot of people, artists, don't put the stuff out there that doesn't make people go, ooh. Because you want to bring forth your best work and show that. Mm-hmm. So I come across quite a bit of ooh.
Excellent. Who are your inspirations?
Inspirations? Like I said, the photographer that I work with, David Rowland, I'm a huge fan of him. He's in Portland. He's like 70 years old and still shooting tons of erotic art, including like modeling for it himself.
No kidding.
Which is
amazing.
I love
to connect with him.
Yeah, he's great. Writing-wise, definitely like Anais Nin, Anne Rice.
Mm-hmm. Other people have said those same names.
Yeah, Anne Rice wrote some great pornography, and she definitely prefers it to be called pornography. She thinks the term erotica is just kind of fluffy, and you know, she's like, whatever, it's porn. Like, it's good.
Well,
because
the original,
it's artistically done.
Yeah, the original meaning of pornography was, you know, it wasn't, you know, as perverse as we understand it today. It was the writings of, you know, sex workers.
Yeah, you know, I think actually the term porn comes from a goddess.
Yeah, Greek, the Greek.
Porn, yeah, P-O-R-N-E or something like that. Yeah.
Who are your sexual heroes?
Heroes? Well, pretty the same, like Anne Rice. Betty Page is amazing, obviously.
Right.
Dita Von Teese, Madonna. Anyone that can own their sexuality without worrying about what other people are going to think.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, you didn't mention any male names. Not that you need to. I was just pointing that out.
Mainly, I don't know. I don't have a lot of references, you know.
That's cool. What does the future hold for you and your work?
I would love to publish a lot more. Do a lot more of my books with my poetry and my photography. I would love to eventually start a magazine, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Even start online at first, probably. Mm-hmm. And
I know where you can get a really good sex advisor to write for you.
Cheap. Oh, yeah? Excellent.
Do you have any advice for novice erotic artists?
Advice for novice erotic artists: do what you love and don't care. Just don't care what anyone else thinks, because that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because that's what you love, and just as long as you stick with that, you know, you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going for the ooh.
Cool. And being honest with oneself.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And
have respect for your subjects and respect for yourself and respect for what you're capturing and what you're bringing into the world.
Mm-hmm. And then owning it.
And owning it, yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that I found when I was shooting porn. I put my own real name on all my products.
Yes.
You know, because I was proud of them. And I mean, not that that was the best porn that was ever produced, on the contrary, but it was mine. And so much of the stuff that it floods the marketplace these days is produced by people, you know, who wouldn't put their real name on their product, and it shows.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, there is and has been so much shame around sexuality for so long. No, I think it's important to just own that it's a part of you. It's natural. It's
right.
Totally natural,
right.
And everyone likes sex.
Can you give us your website address and walk us around a bit?
Oh, yeah, it's called thesmittenone.com, and
I love it.
Well, I originally went by Smitten Images Photography.
Ah, no kidding.
Yeah, so I've got a section on there for my pastels, my art. I've got another section for my photography, another one for my modeling. I've got a list of services. I'm going to be adding a section for my poetry. I've also got a link to a cafe press store on there.
Cool.
People can buy these images on lots of cool different products.
Cool.
And I usually have a flyer or something up for my most recent show.
Mm-hmm. Can we buy your work? I mean,
please do.
Oh, already been.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to be getting a better store online, but you can definitely contact me through the site to order prints. Like I said, most of the models on there I have agreements with, in
right.
the spirit of fair trade.
Right.
I give them a portion of the money.
What a gal.
I think it's important, and I think that was a big thing, being a model and a photographer.
Right.
You know, I do a lot of work for trade with these guys, and then they could turn around and sell it,
right.
and then
I
would have gotten naked for, for 6 hours, and they get to make all the money.
Yeah,
so
I thought
it would be, you know, fair.
Yeah. Right. So we can buy your images, and we can also contact you. Well, we talked about this a little bit last week. We can also contact you if we are inspired and we want you to come and shoot us.
Yes.
Shoot us by ourselves or with our partners.
Or with both of your partners, whatever you like. I'd love to do some triads. I'd love to do more gay couples. I love shooting people on their own. I have a lot of people contact me that want to put together little books for their partner.
Pillow books.
Especially with Valentine's Day coming up.
Oh, good for you. Plug.
Yeah.
Good for you.
No, I'd love to shoot more men. I'd love to shoot anybody that wants to see themselves in a new way.
Mm-hmm. Cool beans. And your book, Little Deaths, which I see sitting between us, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And we'll be able to soon go to your site and possibly order it through your store?
Yes, absolutely. I'll try to get that up this weekend.
You better.
I will.
Look out.
And look out for more, because I plan on doing several.
Excellent. Excellent. Listen, thank you so much for being so generous with your precious time. We are all the richer for the experience.
Thank you so much.
Be well.
Wow, what a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
I'll get you, even if I have to crawl back from my grave to do it.
You're just not going to leave this alone, huh? Well, again, this week's podcast sponsor is The Right Position Erotic Boutique. Need I remind you that Valentine's Day is just around the corner? I sure as hell hope not. But sure as shooting, I can help you find exactly the right gift for your special Valentine. Mosey on over to the Right Position Erotic Boutique and discover an amazing array of fun and functional products for every couple. Feeling really creative? Excellent! Create your own lover's package from among all the boutique's fine products. Hey, and don't forget to include the Right Position pillow. But wait, not sure what to buy? Hey, that's okay. The Right Position Erotic Boutique has a whole bunch of delightful passion packages already put together, and each and every one is guaranteed to transform your sex life. Look for their attractive banner in the sidebar of my site. Be sure to look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. And while you're there, feel free to leave a comment. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.